Again, I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And I'd like to say welcome to all of our visitors that we have this morning. I wanted to let you all know that at this time, we don't have a permanent minister, so we have different brothers step up and try to bring a message that the Lord has put on our hearts. I just want to let you all know that if my message don't go over well with you this morning, don't let that deter you from coming back, because somebody else will be up here the next time you come. But nevertheless, I feel like the Lord has given me something to say, not only to all of you, but to myself as well. So let's go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, we come before you at this time. We give you thanks for this opportunity to come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, and ask that you would speak through me as well as to me with this message that you have put on my heart to bring out, and that we all, under the sound of my voice, may benefit from it. It will help us to be better Christians. It will help us especially to be better fathers, to be better individuals, and to go through life spreading your word, being an example to those who don't know you. Forgive us of our sins, and I ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Today being Father's Day, I want to entitle this message, Father's Day, in parentheses, encouragement. We all know, as fathers, responsibilities that we have. And if you didn't know, you will know, and you learn that being a father doesn't just mean being the father of a child. It involves a whole lot more than that. We set aside a day to celebrate fatherhood and to recognize the influence of fathers in our homes and society. It is also celebrated to honor and commend our fathers and forefathers. Sometimes we celebrate grandfathers, father-in-laws, stepfathers. Sometimes in women, you're not left out, because sometimes you can encourage those young men that you may come in contact with to be better fathers. And some single parent women have to take on the role of a father also. So it is very important. While God's word is silent about any day being set aside specifically to honor fathers, the Bible does recognize a special place of honor for fathers. Now, all of my scriptures will come from the King James Version, the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5 reads, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many. God changed Abram's name to Abraham, indicating fatherhood as a place of honor in his eyes. Thus, even though the Bible does not mention a Father's Day, we can clearly see that God does recognize the importance of fathers. In Christianity, the title father is used to address certain religious leaders, especially priests, bishops, and other clergy, as a mark of respect, reverence, and spiritual authority. Now, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, the one in the one who is in heaven. Now, this was a rebuke to the scribes and the Pharisees for using such titles arrogantly. The verse emphasizes the importance of recognizing God as the only true Father, urging believers to maintain a humble relationship with Him and avoid titles that elevate oneself above others, and the rejection of self-importance in spiritual matters. In practice, the title Father is used to honor those who serve as spiritual guides, teachers, and shepherds of the faithful. It conveys respect, authority, and the pastoral care that spiritual leaders are called to provide. However, we should remember there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and therefore no one is fit to be called father. Fathers are the God-given spiritual heads of the family. The Apostle Paul taught to honor one's earthly father is not only a commandment, but the first commandment that, when obeyed, has a promise of things going well and living long on earth. We find this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. As the spiritual heads of the family, fathers have a responsibility to execute the role that God has assigned to our hearts and hands to do. We have been placed in a position to lead our families with love, guidance, and spiritual responsibility, reflecting God's design for the household. Thus, our scripture from today, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The position that we have from that verse, first, do not provoke your children to wrath. There will always be times when children will be upset with the fathers. Most certainly, every time they can't have their way. Fathers usually always upset someone whenever he has to enforce the rules of the family. Fathers usually has to discipline and stand firm on the decision. And when I was growing up, that responsibility didn't just fall on fathers. Some people, parents, ladies, would tell the child, wait till your father get home. My mom wasn't one of those. She took responsibility first, and then when my father got home, so I was getting a double whammy. In all of this, a father's actions should not be out of anger. It should be out of love. When a child doesn't get that message that the father still cares and loves him, then their wrath is kindled. Discipline needs to be balanced with encouragement and spiritual instruction. Sometimes we do stuff harshly, make a hard decision, and children don't like it. Sometimes wives don't like it. But we have to stand by it. That's the responsibility. And it's for the good, and it's for love. But we have to express that love and let it be known as like you said earlier, James, in the Sunday school, your parents used to say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurt you." I never saw that, but I felt it. Secondly, from that verse, as it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children." The second part, "Do not provoke your children to wrath." The second part, "But bring them up in the training." But bring them up in the training. To bring someone up is to nurture, to care for and encourage the growth or development of. Just as a farmer raises tender plants and waters them and covers them from the frost and feeds them fertilizer so they will grow tall and produce, so the fathers are to bring up their children in the Lord. In training, a father has to use the action of teaching and instructing to fulfill his role in modeling righteousness. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Laying a godly foundation in love and by example requires time and affection." And finally, the last part of that verse, "And the admonition of the Lord." Admonition is the act of providing counsel, warning, or correction, with the goal of guiding someone toward righteous living and spiritual maturity. It is not meant as condemnation, but as the expression of love, care, and accountability, reflecting God's desire for his people to live according to his will. This highlights the father's role in guiding the family in obedience to God. From Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Now, to admonish means to teach fathers. To admonish means to teach. Fathers must teach their children the important lessons of life. Fathers, if you don't teach your child to work, the world will teach them how to steal. Fathers, if you don't teach your sons how to love and respect a woman, the world will teach them how to be a gigolo. Fathers, if you don't teach your child honesty, the world will teach them to be a cheat. Fathers, teach and admonish these lessons. Fear God, love God, obey God. Fear God, Proverbs 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The term "fear of the Lord" does not imply terror or panic, but a profound respect, reverence, and acknowledgement of God's authority and holiness. It is a recognition of the consequences of sin and the importance of aligning one's life with divine principle. This reverence is the foundation for acquiring true knowledge and wisdom distinguishing it from mere worldly intelligence. Love God. Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give the attention to no understanding. Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. Verse 4, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. We talked about that a little bit this morning in our Sunday school lesson, the graciousness of God, that he tells you what you should do, and then he gives you free will. You make up your mind what you want to do. He tells you what's going to happen if you don't, the consequences that you will suffer. And then after you decide to do what you want to do and it's against God's will and you do suffer, he still brings you back to him or makes a way for you to come back to him if you repent sincerely. But God, but love. King Solomon, inspired by his father's teaching, earnestly begs his sons to walk the path of righteousness, avoid wickedness, and guard their hearts. This parental advice highlights the critical importance of wisdom, moral uprightness, and the ability to judge rightly, distinguishing truth from falsehood and good from evil, guided by both the mind and the heart. Therefore, we can be able to see, even though the crowd may be going this way, we need to go that way. And finally, obey God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2, for strength of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Now that verse by itself, right there, if you keep God's commandments, you will have long life. It don't mean you're going to live as long as some of the biblical characters that we have read about that lived for hundreds of years. But if you think about it, and it may not strike you right now, but I can see in my own life, there's been many of my friends, associates, school people, schoolmates, folks that I've come in contact with that have passed on. A lot of them were younger than me. Not saying that I'm living so well that God has blessed me to stay here, but in a sense, it is saying I must be doing something that the Lord is appreciative of to allow me to still be here. Or either he's very patient to allow me enough time to still get it right, because I'm still hard-headed and stubborn. But nevertheless, I know my life has been longer than some. But it has been promised that you will have longer days if you go with God. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Verse 4. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Wisdom is portrayed as a divine gift that leads to a blessed life. It emphasizes dependence on God rather than human wisdom, reflecting the broader theme of humility and trust in the Lord. A timeless reminder that wisdom from God, rooted in love and faithfulness, leads to a life of purpose, peace, and prosperity. I looked at a movie the other night. It was titled The Book of Job. And it states that Job was a righteous man. God had blessed him. He was trying to do what God was having to do. And he lost everything. Lost it all. And suffered physical pain, ailments. And I thought, he was a righteous man, and all that happened to him. Now, true, God gave him back everything, but still, you have to realize, what is it that we got that's ours anyway? From the day you were born and you come into the world, what is yours? Life not even yours, because God bless you with that. There's been so many babies, as they call them, stillbirths, that didn't even take the first breath. And each day that we live, we're blessed. Air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat. We take it for granted. But God continues to bless us more so when we do what he has us to do. And it's not easy, because we know what we're supposed to do, but it's hard sometimes to do that, because we think we can get away with it. But it's only for a short time. Today we honor fathers and thank God for his grace and wisdom in instituting the Christian family. Would that we all strive to get back to the blueprint that God designed. Then and only then can we have a nation under God and a society where generations inherit the blessings of God's favor. We try to teach our children, our nieces, nephews, friends, whoever will listen, we try to set the example. In the same way God gives us free will, he gives it to everybody. God is a good God. He blesses the righteous as well as he blesses the unrighteous, because the rain falls on both. And sometimes you see a person that you know not doing right, not living right, and you wonder, how did they get what they got? And you wonder, why can't I get that? I'm trying to do the right thing. But we get what we deserve. No, I'm sorry, I take that back. We get what we need. We don't get all the time what we want, but we get what we need. We may not get it when we want it, but God still blesses us. And even though he gives us stuff that we mess up, he still continues to bless us, forgives us, and let us go our way, still give us free will. This message this morning is to encourage us all to try to keep God first, especially the fathers of our responsibility. When the day of judgment comes, you can't point to anyone else and say, but he did, or what they did, or what she said, or he said, you can only speak up for what you did and why you did it. We'll all give an account one day. It will be the most important account we'll have. I hope it's something that was said today that will help us all to be better individuals, and especially our fathers, to take into account the responsibility that we have. It may not be your child, but you have responsibility. You may not have no control. Someone may see you from afar. You'd be surprised what people do to copy you, especially when they like you. Sons always want to imitate their fathers. Other people will imitate others that they like, whether they do wrong or whether they do right. We have a big responsibility on our shoulders. The lesson is yours. I hope the Lord blesses you and keep you. At this time, we have an opportunity to, if you have not accepted Christ, you can accept Christ. He has a plan of salvation. You have to hear his word, believe his word, believe that Jesus is his son. And if you hear it and believe it, then it should have some type of an effect on you to make you want to repent of your past sins. If you truly repent, then you will confess that Jesus is God's son, the one and only son. Then you can go down into the water grave of baptism, come up a new creature in life. All of that seems to be quite easy. The hardest part is the whole truth to that conviction each day that you live from that day on. Because wherever you are, you will be wearing the life of a Christian. You will be setting an example. You will be letting your light shine. You will be trying to spread the word of God to others. You will be carrying out that message that we are called to deliver. If you are a Christian and you, like so many of us, have stumbled, because we will stumble, and you need to ask for prayer for forgiveness, you can do so at this time as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. Thank you.